The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning. Reminder, everyone, please make sure your cell phone is muted or turned off so that we won't be entertained by unplanned musical interludes during this morning's service. Some years ago, I attended an open meeting of our fellowship's Committee on Ministry. About 20 of us met here in the sanctuary. Our discussion eventually landed on an issue relevant to the worship committee that I was a member of at the time. What was the issue? The issue was the degree to which our worship services here at the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship satisfied spiritual needs. One fellowship member expressed his feeling that services here weren't spiritual enough. That feeling wasn't widely shared by those present that morning, but two other members voiced support for what he had said, even though they personally didn't seem concerned about spiritual needs being met, because that's not what they were looking for in our services. Interestingly enough, others, including myself, chimed in that while we didn't personally feel that our needs weren't being met, we could see how others might. And after listening to some of the opinions and feelings expressed, the fellowship board president at that time offered a broader perspective, saying that she personally felt that our fellowship offered many opportunities for her to satisfy spiritual needs. Her spiritual needs were met especially through the fellowship's social action initiatives. She mentioned specifically how spiritually fulfilled she felt when she was able to march alongside LGBTQ members of our fellowship in the annual Pride Parade in Philadelphia. And then she called attention to the white elephant in the room, and to an extent at the core of our liberal religious movement. But then she said, "I'm not sure what you mean by spirituality." I'm Jerry Lazaro. I now chair the worship committee here at the Thomas Paine UU Fellowship, a liberal, welcoming faith community seeking new paths to kindness and spiritual growth. And on behalf of the committee and the fellowship as a whole, I welcome everyone joining us here this morning, whether in person or online, whoever you are, wherever you may be on your life's journey, on your spiritual journey, whatever you must in conscience truly, responsibly believe, however you identify or express your gender, whomever you love, whoever loves you, we welcome you and invite you to reflect on the question, so what do you mean? What do you mean by spirituality? Since we declare that our fellowship is dedicated to exploring new paths to spiritual growth, it might be helpful to take a collective and personal stroll along proposed paths, old and new, to spirituality. Let's begin worship this morning by lighting our chalice. Gina Mastrangeli will assist this morning in lighting our chalice.
The chalice and the flame form the symbol of our free Unitarian Universalist faith. We light our chalice this morning with these words by Reverend Eric A. Heller Wagner, who served UU congregations in the United States and Australia. Blessed is the flame that burns deep in the soul. It is the flame of the human spirit touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life. As Jerry lights the peace lamp, please respond with the words, and with all the people of the world. May peace be with us.
And with all.
Thank you, Gina. So, spirituality. Now, the word derives from our English word spiritual, a word referring generally to matters of the spirit, which of course begs the question, so what is spirit? I find it interesting that the word derives from the Latin word spiritus, which literally meant breath, inhalation and exhalation, breathing in, breathing out. In other words, to the most basic vital process necessary to sustain life. And all definitions of spirit seem to reflect this idea of something fundamental, something essential, whether in a physical, mental, emotional, or psychological sense, or in a religious sense. In many of the songs we sing, we appeal to or invoke the spirit. One quintessential UU anthem is Gather the Spirit, written by acclaimed UU troubadour Jim Scott. Musicians and members of the Unitarian Universalist Society of Grafton and Upton, Massachusetts, will lead us in singing hymn number 347, Gather the Spirit. The words will be in the video on the screen behind me and on your computer screen at home. Hymn number 347, Gather the Spirit. Gather the Spirit, harvest the power. From where do we gather the Spirit? What power does it give us? As we're often reminded, Our UU faith is based not on creed, but on principles. And to understand, express, and practice those principles, we draw upon many sources, including world religions, humanistic teachings, philosophy, and science. But the first and primary source is, I quote, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. With that in mind, let me share an excerpt from the section on spirituality on our Unitarian Universalist website. We feel spiritual when we feel a deep connection with something greater than ourselves, with the natural world, with those who have gone before, with a creative spirit, with God. Spiritual moments like this direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder are an important source of religious learning for Unitarian Universalists. Sometimes those moments catch us by surprise. A sunset takes our breath away. We share a moment of connection with a stranger. We discover a creative insight. Fundamentally, essentially then, our faith claims we uphold life and we derive power from experiencing connection. Connection to something deep within ourselves, something beyond ourselves. The interdependent web of existence, the cosmos, an envisioned supreme being, if that's where you are at. Connection to one another. And that something doesn't need to be big, extraordinary, and overwhelming, supernatural. Sometimes the little things, the simple, everyday objects and activities, when we allow ourselves to fully experience them, can connect us to ourselves and awaken in us feelings of mystery and wonder, feelings of being truly alive, of being enabled, of being empowered. Here's how singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer expresses that experience of the little things in our musical reflection this morning, As Holy as the Day is Spent. Can we run the Carrie Newcomer song?
The dish and drain, the soap and sink, and the cup and plate, the warm wool socks, the cold white tile, shower heads and good dry towels, and frying eggs sound like songs, with bits of salt measured in my palm, and it's all a part of a sacrament. As holy as a day is spent. Holy is the busy street, the cars that boom with passion's beat, and the checkout girl counting and change, the hands that shook my hands today, and hymns of geese fly overhead, spread their wings like their parents did. Blessed be the dog that runs in her sleep to chase some wild and elusive thing. Holy is the familiar room, in quiet moments in the afternoon, and folding sheets like folding hands, pray as only laundry can. I'm letting go of all my fear, like autumn leaves made of earth and air. But the summer came and the summer went, as holy as a day is spent. Holy is the place I stand, give whatever small good I can. The empty page, the open book, redemption everywhere I look. Unknowingly we slow our pace, the shade of unexpected grace, and with grateful smiles and sad lament, as holy as a day is spent. And morning light sings providence, as holy as a day is spent.
As I was preparing this service, I did 6 loads of laundry yesterday. Over the years, and even recently, I've heard people question the degree to which we UU seek, let alone find, the spiritual in our services, and how much value and significance we place on spirituality to begin with. Those questions are, of course, inextricably linked to the more basic question, what do you mean by spirituality? As I'm sure you're aware, many outside our denomination question, even mock the claim that you use, are spiritual. Doesn't being spiritual mean that you revere and worship some spirit that is holy and not holy of this world? A spirit that mortal flesh and human reason must serve and obey? And if you don't believe in some supreme transcendent being with whom you can develop a close personal relationship, like Sherry's daughter-in-law professes to, how can you claim to lead a spiritual life? In short, many looking in on us question, if you don't got religion, at least as we understand religion, how can you get spiritual? Well, I was raised Catholic. I've studied many religions. I've been a UU now for close to half a century. Over the decades, I've found that our UU faith communities are no less spiritual in temperament and expression than any other faith community. In some ways, maybe even more so. How? Well, let's start with an observation that Unitarian Universalists seem perfectly able to comprehend, even though it may baffle others. Namely, religion and spirituality are hardly synonymous. Religion and spirituality are not one and the same. They may not even be mutually supportive. This is hardly a new revelation, but it's becoming more and more a mainstream idea. Robert Fuller is a professor of religious studies at Bradley University, and in his book, Spiritual But Not Religious, he explains that prior to the 20th century, the terms religion and spiritual, or religious and spiritual, excuse me, were somewhat interchangeable. However, shifts in the cultural and intellectual landscape have changed that. He attributes the shifts to the increasing prestige of the sciences, the insights of modern biblical scholarship, and greater awareness of cultural relativism. You know, the idea that one's belief system is shaped very much by the social environment in which one is raised and nurtured. He reasons that such changes in the cultural and intellectual landscape make it more difficult for educated Americans to sustain unqualified loyalty to religious institutions. And Fuller could well be referring to UUs when he writes that many began to associate genuine faith with the private realm of personal experience rather than with the public realm of institutions, creeds, and rituals. And we get that, don't we? Isn't that the legacy of our UU ancestors like Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau, Theodore Parker, and many others? Aren't we the ones who embrace direct experience as a source of truth and of true faith? Not institutions, not creeds, not rituals, not the sayings of some charismatic leader. Right? And meanwhile, the rest of the world seems to be catching up to us. According to the Pew Research Center, 3 of every 10 adults in the U.S. today describe themselves as unaffiliated with any religion. And 1 in every 5 describe themselves as spiritual but not religious. The shift is most evident in so-called millennials, those between the ages of 18 to 29. But Norris Chumley, a professor, author, and Emmy Award-winning producer, claims that older Americans, too, are moving in that direction. Many baby boomers like me, Chumley writes, consider religion to be external, organized, and connected to cultures and institutions, cultural systems. For him, however, spirituality isn't necessarily tied to systems or houses of worship. It's internal, ethereal, intangible. And he casts spirituality in a light that reflects the UU spirit. Spirituality exists, he says, whenever we struggle with the issue of how our lives fit into the greater cosmic scheme of things. He claims we encounter spiritual issues every time we wonder where the universe came from, why we are here, or what happens when we die. And he's right in step with UUs when he claims that the process of seeking answers has value, even if our questions never give way to specific answers or give rise to specific practices. He adds that we experience the spiritual when we become moved by values such as beauty, love, or creativity that seem to reveal a meaning or power beyond our visible world. Meaning or power beyond the visible world. Beauty, love, creativity. We heard them all in this morning's prelude when Peter Mayer sang of galaxies as hundreds of billions of snowflakes floating in a cosmic storm, himself one infinitesimal snowflake. Sang of his soul as a deep abiding ocean, while he himself was just the sudden flashing wave. Professor Chumley sums it up this way. An idea or practice is spiritual when it reveals our personal desire to establish a felt connection with the deepest meanings or powers governing life. I like that concept of spiritual so much, I'm going to repeat it. An idea or practice is spiritual when it reveals our personal desire to establish a felt relationship with the deepest meanings or powers governing life. I like it because it gets right to the place where concepts of spirituality in all religious traditions seem to me to overlap. That is, the idea that spirituality springs from that need for a felt relationship, not just an avowed relationship or a publicly professed or publicly confessed relationship, but a felt relationship with the deepest meanings or powers governing life. And that concept of spirituality isn't restricted to religious traditions. It flourishes in the sciences and in the arts. It speaks to all who seek fuller understanding, who seek identity, who seek to express more fully how it feels to be alive, who seek to lead fuller lives, lives with meaning and purpose. I love what Pablo Picasso said about that. He said, the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. Einstein implied many times that his quest to understand the laws of the universe was spiritual in nature. It involved a, quote, deep emotional conviction of the presence of a superior reasoning power, not necessarily being a superior reasoning power, which is revealed in the incomprehensible universe. In my own journey to develop spiritually, I've come to believe that being wrapped in awe at the wonder and mystery of the created world is really at the heart and soul of all religious traditions, including our own. Whatever paths, for better or worse, religions take from that point of origin, the more they lose sense of that wonder and mystery, the less they promote spiritual growth, the less they reflect the creative forces that uphold life. The most beautiful thing we can experience, Einstein wrote, is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom the emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. And I'd add, so is the mind. I've also come to believe that along with awe comes gratitude, feeling grateful for the opportunity to experience and express that wonder and mystery, even though we know our expressions will inevitably be insufficient and incomplete. And these feelings are no less prominent in Unitarian Universalism than in any other religious tradition. Perhaps they're even more so because UUs are generally more focused on the here and now rather than on the hereafter. Because UUs aren't looking to be told how to experience awe and express gratitude, we want to find out for ourselves. Through direct experience, we seek insight into wonder and mystery through reason and imagination, not just through faith. We want to discover a new law of nature, a new galaxy, a new species, a new genetic variant, a new drug to treat a disease, one of the many ills flesh is heir to. We want to create a poem, a painting, a song, a dance. Was Marion, right? A new relationship, a new social covenant, a new consciousness. We want to experience the everywhere and the always in the here and now, even in the dish in the drain and the laundry drying on the line. Now, I don't mean to imply at all, please don't mistake me, I'm not saying that rituals can't be part of spiritual practice or that being in community with others has no spiritual value. I mean, rituals, repeated acts that help you connect with yourself and with something larger than yourself, can truly enliven your spirit. That is, of course, if you aren't just going through the motions, you're not just reciting the words and not really thinking on them. Same thing with prayers. I mean, we engage in rituals here, don't we? Such as lighting our chalice. We repeat prayers as when we sing Spirit of Life after matters of the heart in our service. And if we open ourselves to the meanings of these rituals and prayers, experience them and not just witness them, they can provide a path to spiritual growth. And while we know that we can walk the path of spirituality alone, we also know that sensing others are with us on the path can fulfill spiritual as well as social needs. Certainly, many UUs, I know many people here, embrace the idea espoused by Dr. Martin Luther King, that one of the most fulfilling spiritual practices is building a beloved community. There's so much more I could say on this topic, you know, that has meaning for me, but I want to avoid that temptation. Because I want to leave space in this service for you to gather and perhaps share some of your thoughts on spirituality. And to facilitate dialogue, I'll ask you to consider three questions. Can we display those questions, Mike? They're up there. Good. Okay. Have you had what you consider a spiritual experience in the recent past? That's what you consider. You know, nobody else has to think it is, but you did. And can you describe that experience as best you can? Two, do TPUF worship services provide you with spiritual experiences? Nearly all the time, frequently, sometimes, occasionally, rarely. And three, if TPUF worship services provide you with opportunities for spiritual experiences, what elements of the service or services most often provides them? So here's what I want you to do. If you please indulge me. You know, there are people here close to you. Everybody's masked and so forth. If you would like just kind of break off into groups of, you know, a few, three, whatever, like Sherry, you move up there with Flo and Vic. If Pill, you with and Sandy, you move up with Mike, and Lorraine, Tina, and Marion, and we might have a group with four in there back there with Francesca, a new arrival this morning, and Jeannie, and Linda, or maybe you could go back with Mike and they got nothing back there. Okay, so please share. Gather your thoughts and share some of those answers that you would give to those questions with just a few people at this point.
Okay. And for the folks on Zoom, if you would like to use the chat to participate, that's going to be the easiest way to make sure that you have an opportunity if you'd like to publicly share thoughts. We had talked about doing a breakout room, but then you'd lose sight of the questions, and that would make life challenging for everyone. So if you'd just like to ponder to yourself, that is fine. If you would like to ponder to chat, that is also fine.
If you possibly can, see if we can wrap up the discussion so we're not here until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I know it's hard because I'm going to keep talking about it too. One of the things that always inspires me when I come here is just how mindful and thoughtful the people who come here are, and how they really think about things that are important and important in life. It's always amazing to me. And I just, somebody said, personally, I think our religious liberal faith offers tremendous opportunities for spiritual experience, for spiritual growth, because it welcomes and encourages an ever-expanding variety of ways to understand and practice spirituality. It doesn't prohibit or discourage new meanings of spirituality, and it doesn't diminish or disregard more traditional meanings. It offers so many ways to experience felt connection with what inspires and amazes us, no matter what your vision of God is, or whether you believe in God at all. Thank you. As always, we leave time in our service for those of us experiencing a joy lifting their spirit up, or a sorrow weighing their spirit down, to bring that joy or sorrow to the light of this faith community. After a brief musical interlude provided by one of our members, Christine Perry, we'll have the open mic here if you would like to come up and share with us this morning a joy or sorrow.